Hey guys, how you living? You doing well?
Good, glad to hear that.
Indeed, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios. Please stop by screwballwhiskey.com, SKREW ballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here, Screwball Whiskey. This episode was a really, really good time, really good episode. Brother Rob Haught from the Couch on Fire podcast stopped by to do an in-studio interview, and for those aware, I recorded a podcast with him a couple of days ago on the Couch on Fire podcast, and that was a great time, and I wanted to get some more content out. So here we are, and we talked about all sorts of things, mostly revolving around podcasts. We talked about some personal life stuff, and you guys are no stranger to the randomness of my episodes and my ability to ramble, and this podcast was no different. This episode was just a rambling good time of all kinds of cool shit that we talked about. So don't want to give you any more spoilers in the content area. I want you guys to listen to it. So yeah, do that. And also go subscribe to Couch on Fire podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Leave reviews so that we'll get more data for the episodes, and any podcaster who is putting content out definitely wants to see how that content is doing. So if you guys would leave reviews, that would give us those answers better than if you wouldn't. So please take the time to do that. Please click subscribe on Couch on Fire podcast anywhere. Just type that into Google, and anywhere it takes you, go click subscribe. Anywhere podcasts are available, go do that. And please stop by mistuffpodcast.com and check out the website that I've been doing a lot of crazy work to over the last couple of months. I know nothing about website building or anything like that. I'm fucking horrible at any of that stuff, but I've just, in doing it, I feel like I've gotten a little better, and I'm pretty proud of the progress I've made. So I invite you guys to go check that out. In links on the very front page are the social media links above the message are the podcast social media links, and on the music/about/music portion of the podcast or of the website are my personal pod or shit. What am I saying? My personal social media pages. My mouth's just like, what the fuck are you trying to say? Anyway, please go and check that out. I've got the blog there too that I don't update as often as I'd like to, but yeah, just keep your eyes on that, and there'll be some random words that'll keep popping up over the next couple of weeks. So there's that. Please go to the YouTube page. Please click subscribe. Trying to get our subscriber count up. Also, Couch on Fire is on YouTube. Go check those guys out. You will not be disappointed. And they're from right here in the Myrtle Beach area. Well, half of them are from right here in the Myrtle Beach area. So anyway, we are about to go running into the content, so I want to go ahead and get out of here before we start doing that. And once again, please go check out our sponsors at screwballwhiskey.com, SKREW ballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here, Screwball Whiskey. And my brother from Screwball Whiskey is going to be in town soon, so we're going to be having him on a podcast. But anyway, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 161 of the MI Stuff Podcast. Enjoy, motherfuckers. We are now live on audio, so folks, you're going to have to go to the YouTube channel, YouTube MI Stuff Podcast by Kelsey Hudgens, and check out that first little bit of content.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, Brother Rob Haught in the house. Haults.
You say it great. I'm telling you say it good. Just think, all right, think of caught. Like, I just caught something. Take out that caught. C, put an H.
See, some words I say that doesn't sound Southern at all, like caught or bought or like,
yeah,
or something like that. Like, that doesn't, like, I say like a redneck, but bought, caught, things like that.
Oh, I love it. Do I have an accent?
I don't think so. You sound Californian, which is the lack of accent, you know?
God, that's so crazy. So, fun fact, I used to live in Honolulu, Hawaii. My wife and I lived in Hawaii. I actually lived there with my friends first, and then I dragged her along a couple years later. But when I was there, they all thought I sounded Like, I was from, like, Boston. I'm like, no.
Really?
If you...
Boston.
Yeah, like, the car, you know, like, the curb. Like, no, I don't sound like that.
Not at all.
Yeah. And then it's funny, when growing up in Maryland, in Baltimore, people are like, you're not from Baltimore. You don't sound like you're from Baltimore. Because real Baltimore accent is, you would know it.
Oh, yeah.
You would know it.
Yeah, I don't hear an accent at all. It sounds more like, like Californian, which is, everybody always says the California accent is the lack of an accent. Like, you enunciate everything properly. And see, I feel like that's one thing that takes a lot of my Southern out of my voice. Like, I know I sound very Southern to people who don't speak to a lot of Southern people, but when I go home, you know, they're like, you sound like... You know, sound like a sissy. What are you talking about? Enunciating all these, you know, why were you saying all these letters? Yeah.
Well, I just, I have a friend of mine that I do a podcast with. He was born and raised in Charlotte, and he's got an accent, and he says the funniest quote ever. And remember, I asked you to say one, you did. But recently, he just texted me something. He said, it's hotter than a witch's titty and a brass bra, and I was like, what the hell? I just feel like there should be, if there probably is, but there should be a book for
there's little
terminologies, analogies, you know. It's just
there's a lot of those things that'll come out. If I'm put on the spot to name a few, I can't. Mm-hmm. But in situations, they'll come out. But like, the snake's not that scary when you can see it in the room. That was that was just something that came out. I don't even know if that's a saying or not. But I was like, hey, that sounds like one of those little southern things. But anyway, I talk way too much about me on all of my solo episodes. You were saying that you're starting to do the. To do more solo talks?
Yeah, so
now.
So when I originally started my podcast, for those who don't know, I've been wanting to do a podcast for years, but I never knew how to do it, like, with all the equipment and things like that. I didn't know how to go out there and grab an audience. So I asked one of my best friends that I've known since fifth grade. He's an engineer. He programs his own computers and stuff. And I was like, can you help me? And he's like, sure, I'll do this. I'll help you for a little bit. So we started a podcast. And we just talked about, we're two dads. You know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and he has a stepson that's, I believe, 5 or 6. He's going to kill me if he's hearing this and it's wrong. sorry, Alex. And we started the podcast, and it was just me and him for a while.
Right.
Just me and him. And then eventually one of my good friends was like, I love horror movies. Let's talk about horror movies. And I was like, okay. So I did like a side story thing where we just talked about horror movies.
Yeah.
And then somebody come in and said, Rob, you should do a solo episode. And I said, okay. So I did one. And then now every Tuesday, I every Monday night or Tuesday morning, I put out an episode, just me by myself.
That's healthy.
Yeah. It's just some of them are good. I get really good feedback. Some of them are just kind of like, blah. You know, I just get like, because they're only like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a good like car ride to work or car ride to like down the street podcast. I just talk about what the hell's going on in my life, because I got a lot of crazy stories.
I'm sorry you keep hearing my bubbly water come up over here.
I have, I have a lot of crazy stories. Like, I have one coming out. I record them a couple days when I can. Like, I'll sit down and do, like, 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So I have one coming out on Monday night. It's kind of more of a, like, where I have, because I've had to do a lot of soul searching in my last couple years of my life. And it's like what I've done to improve my life compared to what I used to be. Because I was an asshole. I was stealing from people. I was a dick. And I had to fall flat face on the ground to really become the person I am today.
Right.
And so that's the episode that's coming out. It's kind of a cool self-awareness thing.
As your Southern thing, it takes reaching the bottom to have to look up.
I love it. Well, see, well...
Continue that thought. I'm going to get us a little bit better lighting.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, so it's just, you know, I love the personal ones because it's like it shows the audience that you're not alone, because a lot of people go through the same stuff. A lot of people go through the same things. And that's just what I've been going through. So that's why I've been doing a lot of solo ones. Some of them are just me talking about stuff I love, like football or baseball or... Some of them are just...
Not baseball so much this year, though, right?
Well, see, I enjoy the game. So I'll watch minor league baseball. I'll watch...
Same here, man.
You know, I enjoy the game. So even if my team sucks, which they do right now, I still enjoy the game. I mean, will You're I right. go to a Yankees game? Hell no. Will I go to a Boston Red Sox game? I would do that over the Yankees. I just, there's two things in life that was drilled into my head sports wise. You hate the Steelers, you hate the Yankees. And those are the two things right. that I just did never, you know, we kind of briefly talked about the college football thing, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Oh,
but
yeah, we will.
It's just, yeah, those are just the two main things. But yeah, the solo podcast. I mean, they've been doing good.
That's good, man. Like that's something that I started exclusively mm-hmm. was, like once I realized you get to the point where you're having to wrangle cats, and that's Noah Burns' words instead of mine. You know, wrangling cats to get Noah and Blair together, and then just random friends that were coming over, and I'd be like, "Hey, man, you want to come over and do a podcast with me?" Yeah, sure, I'll be over there in a little bit. And then 3-4 hours later, it's like, dude, I'm sorry, I could have already had one done by now, mm-hmm. and like just. Not having to rely on anybody else to get your stuff done yeah. is key in keeping the ball rolling. And that's obviously something that you're very concerned with is keeping yeah. the ball rolling. So do you have like a specific subject matter that you try to stick with or like a central message that you continuously pound? Or is that just like a stream of consciousness?
Honestly, just like everything else in life, it involves. I think when we first initially started it, we wanted to relate everything in this world to fatherhood.
Okay.
And after 6 episodes, it just changed. It just slowly started evolving to two friends talking about life, talking about gaming, talking about what we did growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, like just stuff like that. Wow. And then my solo ones, it's just more of my internal struggles. So it's more yeah. of life. That's right now, if you listen to any of my solo ones, it's just more of like what's going on in my life. Like I'll talk about buying a new house and things like that. And it's not necessarily that I don't want to deal with anybody.
Right.
It's just more like you said, it's just so hard to sit down with friends and just bang it out because it's not a job. If we were all making money, yeah, I can, you right. would have a co-host all the time at your house
Every
because
time.
They're making money. But when it's a hobby and you didn't,
yeah. or even if they knew that you were popular enough to where they would gain.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Social media mm-hmm. followers or something.
Yeah. This is, podcasting, you know, I've tried a lot of things in my life, hobby wise, good and bad, and I think this is my favorite thing I've ever did.
It's just
it means so much to me, and I get so much enjoyment. I have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
I have a list at my house of all these topics, and I try my best to stay with these topics. Like I'll go in thinking, okay, I'm going to talk about fantasy football. All right, it's coming up. I like playing fantasy football, so I'm going to talk about fantasy football. But once I get into the podcast talking about it, something happens.
Yeah.
If it's football related, I'll like, okay, Ezekiel Elliott's holding out. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You know, there's some football related.
Right. Now,
so with any other podcast, like I recently just did an episode. It's called Summer of Horror with my friend Griffin. We wanted to talk about urban legends. I have this huge fear of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and he has this fear of these things called skinwalkers. So we were talking.
Yeah. Is that?
You gotta listen to it.
Oh yeah,
I'm not gonna tell.
Well done, well done.
So we were going in. This is the game plan. Before I hit record, I was like, "This is what we're gonna talk about." Probably 90% of that podcast, not even about urban legend. You know, we started talking about. He went to the movies. We started talking about like PG horror movies compared to R-rated horror movies. He had this outlook about how. I'll give you a little taste of it. His outlook was. If it's not R-rated, it's not a good horror movie. And I was like, well, Jaws is rated PG. Poltergeist is rated PG. Now, different time, I understand.
Right.
But before Jaws came out, Halloween was rated R. And that was one of the first slasher films. So it's like, so there was like this whole debate. So it was a good episode. But I had a guideline. But sometimes in life, just throw it out the fucking window.
I would almost think the opposite in a way that the for a PG movie to be still scary without... doing all the tit shots and stuff like that. That's more highbrow.
Yeah. Kudos to the writer.
Right.
Kudos to the producer and the director because of the fact that you can do that. And like, a recent movie that was PG-13, The Quiet Place. That was a good horror movie.
Yeah, it was.
So the fact that the guy from The Office can do something like that, Because he wrote it.
Yep.
And I think he directed it.
I think so. Yeah.
So the fact that he did that, Jim from The Office, I'm an Office fan. The fact that he did that, see.
Yeah. I used to be able to do the Jim face a lot better when I didn't have all this beard down here. Like,
You didn't used to have a beard?
Oh, no, man.
See, I only know you now as a beard in the pictures I've seen.
Right.
So just imagine you without the mane, you know, the Viking.
Technically, I've always had, like, something.
Yeah.
You know, since I could grow something, I had the neck beard until it, you know, came up. I, like, for the longest time, I didn't have a mustache. I had the Amish thing.
Mm-hmm. And, I was talking about, yeah.
And yeah, I would just shave up here. That wasn't my girlfriend had me do that at the time.
I like that. I've done that multiple times where I've had this, but then I'll shave the mustache. Yeah.
Yeah. And still to this day, like they'll grow funny and like poke up in my nose. So I spend most of my day like, you know, getting hairs that go up. I'm just so aggravated when I can't deal with something small, like tickling like a nose hair or something like that. And I'll take a pair of, full disclosure, I'll take a pair of pliers, dude, and just yank.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now that's painful.
I don't care. It just, you know what? That's not as painful as having those giant long nose hairs, which happens, guys. By the way, it happens. You'll get these giant ass long nose hairs that'll just like be growing from way up inside. That'll just tickle right under the outside of your nose, and yeah, man, just snatching those out it hurts a lot less than it's aggravating to keep them there.
Damn.
There's something that you know about me now. I probably said that before on the podcast. Sorry.
Well, you know, recently that's been an issue that I've been coming up with. I feel like I'm repeating myself because we have over 130 some episodes.
Yep.
And we try to stay relevant to what's going on now in our life and what's going on in the news.
Right.
We don't want to be like other podcasters that just do the news. We don't want to be like other podcasters that, you know, just keep saying the same thing over and over again. So we're trying to, that's the issue that we're running into right now. At least me, I'm running into like, did I tell them this? But so I was telling you before this, I have really bad ADHD.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think it's because all the meth my father did when I was young, or my parents, I don't know what they did. I'm not really that close with them. So I just know that, I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm repeating myself. I try my best, but
I've gotten to the point where I'll say something to where, and I'm like, I know a lot of my listeners know what's coming next because they've probably heard it before, but it bears repeating. And I'll say that a lot. Like if I've said this before, I'm sorry, but it's necessary for those. Cause in my mind, I treat every episode as if somebody's going to be hearing this podcast for the first time. Every episode, you could gain a new listener. And I feel like that's a good like mindset to keep while I'm trying to do the thing. So, like, if I get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I might have said that before, but if you have said that before, like, I think that the listeners who have been there through the long haul, they're like, you know, feel more included. Mm-hmm. Like, they know you now. Like, they know what you're about to say. And I think that's really,
I think that's a cool thing. I look at it as, what do you like when you listen to a podcast? I want to hear something that relates to me. And even if they repeat themselves, it's okay, because it's like a reinsurance that it's like if you go visit relatives, you know, for family reunion.
Yeah.
That grandmother that tells you the same thing she told you last week.
Right.
But you still listen to it. You
know, exactly.
Yep. So it's, I agree. I definitely agree with that. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. So you're not close with your parents. You want to talk about that at all? Or is that a little too
touchy
of a subject?
No, I have nothing that's touchy. I'm an open book.
Same here,
I'll tell you some deep, dark secrets that I don't even think my wife knows.
I probably could have approached that a little bit. So you're not close with your parents, huh?
All right, talk to
Phil. Well, at least it could have been a lot, but, you know, it's like
a bad reception, honey.
Bruce Baker, hairy ass.
What's that? I mean, it could have been like Jim's dad, you know. Yeah.
Well,
just so, too involved.
So my parents, I have an older brother.
Okay.
His name is Jason. Not too close with him. He's about 10 years older than me, but he's from my father, his first marriage. Then when my father met my mom, they had me. And then my mom got pregnant with another. I had another brother, but he passed away. So after that, my parents separated, and then my mom stole me. So my mom, my mom is, she's really good at being like a sister, not a mother. So my father had custody of me, and I lived with my father.
Yeah.
And it was me, my father, and my grandmother, his mom. And my, I don't even think my wife knows the story. So one day he was hanging out. My mother was in Cleveland, Ohio. She came to Baltimore, stole me in the middle of the night, and took me to Cleveland. And my father, he, you know, heavy PCP user and stuff like that, but he was still maintaining a job.
Right.
Like he was like a functioning addict.
Yeah.
And, you know,
those are a lot more common than people would expect.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you won't even notice them sometimes.
Right.
But so he was a functioning addict. So he never fought for me. So then once my mom took me, I lived in Cleveland for a little bit. I used to get beat up all the time because I went to an all black school and I was one of the only white people there. And at the time, I didn't really care. But they would just pick on me because I was different.
Right.
And they would just keep picking on me, pick on me.
So, kids are ruthless, man. That's just anybody who's different, they'll get.
Mm-hmm. So eventually, my mom and I saw some fucked up shit when I was there. And then my mom and I, we moved back to Maryland, but we lived with her parents, which is my grandparents.
Yeah.
And I ended up just staying with them. My mom moved away, but my grandparents were like, no, he needs a stable.
Right.
We're going to stay with them.
Good on them for that.
Yep.
Same thing happened to me.
So my mother, she would try to leave. She would leave. She wasn't really in my life that much. But my father would see me. Every other weekend, I would spend a weekend with them.
Right.
So he tried. I think he didn't try for my older brother, but he tried with me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But my grandparents raised me. They did a great job.
Yeah, they did. You seem like you got your shit together, too. And I know you said you've had your troubles in the past, which we can chalk up to parents. But I think that maybe having your grandparents' influence on your life maybe kind of shone through in those times.
Well, one of the things that actually really helped me, my grandparents, they gave me that roof. They gave me the clothes on my back. They gave me the food in my belly. But the thing that really helped me out is I had a good group of friends.
Yeah.
It's like I grew up in a town. The name of the town is Joppa. It's a suburb outside of Baltimore. I had five good friends, and none of them, you know, we just grew up. We played outside all the time. Yeah. We did everything. Their parents would always invite me over for dinner, and it was just, I had good friends. So if you surround yourself with good people, you're going to do good things.
Right.
And they taught me manners. They taught me a lot of things because I picked up what their parents were teaching me. Because my grandparents, they did a good job, but I was also the, you know, it's their second go around. They're tired. They don't want to, invest into me too much. That's a little brief history.
Man, that's interesting, man. I have a very similar situation, dude. Like my mom left me and my dad when I was 2 years old with the guy who inevitably became my stepdad, and I ended up just spending a lot of time with because my dad was running a business at that point, you know, he had just bought my granddad's, you know, heating and air business from my granddad. And, he was doing that and my mom was doing God knows what. So I spent a lot of my time with my grandparents. So yeah, I was basically there. And then whenever my mom inevitably left, I was 2 years old. The only place I was comfortable was at my grandma's house, you know, at my grandparents' house. So I ended up, growing up there. My dad was there every day. Like, it was my grandparents' house was like this hub where everybody shows up every day, you know. So, I mean, I was around my dad and everybody else in my family. But then, you know, come time for my mom to come pick me up on the weekend, you know, she would maybe show up.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And then later in life, I kind of rebelled against, you know, when you get to that age, you know, 10, 11 years old, where you just hate everything. Mm-hmm. And, just wanted to go live with my mom, and I rebelled against my parents, and I ended up going to live with my mom. And long story short, and I know my listeners have heard 1,000 fucking times, that just gave her, like, I think I said this in the podcast, too, like, I gave my mom, like, $50,000, my mom, my stepdad, for a used car lot, and, for them to buy cars with and stuff like that, and she blew all the money, and like, just
damn,
long, long drawn out process. Why they say don't do business with family is very true, because like that's not exactly the bad thing, but once I realized that my mom didn't give a shit about me, she just knew that I was going to come into this money when I turned 18, and that's the only reason that I was around. Just that was a really shitty, like,
damn,
that was a shitty feeling. But like, just knowing that and using mainly after I quit drinking and doing drugs and such, like using the podcast as an outlet to get all of those things, the rotten meat within me, mm-hmm. with, for lack of a better term, to get that out was key in getting mental clarity. And I'm curious, is like, have you used the same method in a way with the podcast, or was it something different? And I know you have a family now, and I'm sure that you can probably just put the energy into them that you feel like maybe you missed in a way, and not missed, but because I know your grandparents were very, very good to you.
So. I had a lot. To this day, I still have mommy issues. I have mommy issues.
Me too. We will.
I watch a lot of mom porn. Okay.
Bro, how about this, man? I got stepmom and stepsisters, and that outlaws an entire genre of porn I will never get to appreciate.
The thing about porn, nowadays, amateur porn is everything. And literally 90% of porn that you look up is like, oh, daddy, or oh, my stepmom was looking so hot today. So it's like, I'm not in it for the story. I just want to jerk off. That's what
I can't do it. I can't do it, man. I think too much, man. I get too much in my head, man.
I somehow, it's the only thing in this world that turns my brain off. So that happens. but so I honestly, if you were to talk to my friends that I grew up with, like to this day, they don't believe I am the person I am today. I am complete 180, the person I can't stress you, even when I got even when I got clean from doing my bad stuff, that I still had my demons. I was still I lied to a lot of my friends because I wanted to be cool, the guy that everyone loved, and I wanted to be everything. So I would lie, but then I learned that to get out of a lie, you got to tell another lie. To get out of that lie, you got to tell another lie. The thing that helped me before because the podcast is definitely an outlet,
sure.
and I love it. But the thing that really helped me get to where I can be comfortable enough to be so honest and, to be on the podcast is my wife. My wife really helped me out. She really changed me. I had to fight for her. She didn't want me at first. She thought I was a fucking asshole. I stalked her. I did everything I possibly can. But eventually she started realizing I wasn't a bad guy.
Right.
And that I was going to be good for her. And then look, 10 years now, I'm still with her. We have a daughter.
Start stalking.
That's what you write it down. Well, the thing is we met, she hates when I tell the story, but this is the truth. And, I will say this side note. It's so funny. The older you get, the more bullshit that you tell, because you're just like, I don't care if anybody likes me.
Right.
So I'm just going to tell the truth to everyone. And if you don't like me, I apologize, but this is just who I am.
Yeah.
So she hates that I tell the story, but I dated three of her friends. She had this clique of friends and I dated all three of them. And she was the only one that I wasn't with. So to me, that was a challenge. So, she was in a long relationship. So we started hanging out and,
safer than a tube sock.
We started hanging out and started doing things. I got to get used to that. That's awesome.
Sorry. Every now and again, I don't know.
When I met her, we dated, but then we were off and on because she was still conflicted because she still loved her other boy, the other guy that was, he fucked her over and stuff. So that's when I started not stalking her, but I wouldn't give up on her. Like I would keep showing up at her house with food and stuff. And she's just she didn't want me there. But then again, if she tells the story, she'll say, I'm glad you were there.
Yeah.
So that really helped me. And in us leaving where I grew up was the biggest change for me. Cause everybody around where I lived is a bubble.
Yeah.
And even when I go back to this day, I see good friends and I love them, but I still remember, this is where I watched some chick blow a guy for Scramble, which is heroin. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh yeah, this, I watched that. Or this corner, I remember, walking down here, rolling two joints, listening to Sublime. It's like, these are memories that I don't want.
Right.
So me and her, when we got out of Dodge and left, that really took me to the next level. And then this podcast is just making me so humble and so wonderful. The feedbacks that I get, even the negative ones, they affect me, but I'm not, but it makes me a better person. So this podcast is something great, and I'm trying to do something even better. And I told you about it recently.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that. I want to be a part of that. I'm excited about that whole,
well, I think it comes with age, but I really just want to do, like, I love the idea of local businesses.
Right.
I love the idea of people helping people.
Right.
And I don't know if it's because I'm in the Bible Belt now. And that everyone just reaches out and
right
down in the South, it's a real thing. There's this Southern hospitality where people just are really like neighbors bring pies to your house. Up north, they don't bring pies to your house,
right?
You know, they complain about each other.
They don't
give
a shit.
Yeah, and it's a real thing down here. I mean, I haven't got a pie yet, but.
But yeah, we know.
Yeah,
People are all about help. You know, helping people down here, and that's one misconception that the South has is everybody. You know, they just think we're all just a bunch of mouth breathing racists. And granted, those guys are here and those people are here, but
they're everywhere. They're up north,
but we don't really associate with them.
You know, it's a shame, but I see a lot of good down here. I see a lot of good things. And when I started the podcast, I never thought about doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
But now I'm at a level where I've reached out to other podcasters that are growing like me. Not big, but big enough to where people at least know them. And, you know, and some of them are bigger. Some of them are, I mean, kudos to you. I'm never jealous. I'm never upset.
Right.
If you're success, I look at it as I am a coffee shop. And if you're a bagel shop, why wouldn't I put your bagels in my coffee shop?
Exactly.
Like, why wouldn't you say, you know, say, oh, you like my bagels? We'll go down there and get a double shot of espresso. Like,
right.
You know, why wouldn't we help each other out? And that's podcasting for me.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to – I found a venue. It's actually a wedding venue, but but it's good. It's big enough. It's not a huge conference hall. It's actually, you know – I forget what it's like a train station.
Yeah.
You know, my brother-in-law got married there in Myrtle Beach. It's right by the Ferris wheel, that big wheel in Myrtle Beach.
I know the train depot.
Yeah, the train depot. So I contacted them, and they are all for me maybe throwing a little convention event.
Yeah.
You know, the first one's going to be very small, and I'm not looking to get any profit back from it. This is something that I'm going to invest my own money into. And honestly, I've even thought about doing GoFundMe when the time comes, because right now this is early stages. And I've reached out to so many other podcasts. Say if I reach out to 5, only 2 have got back to me. So it's, you know, it's, you know, and then also a lot of podcasters look at your work too. So they're just like, okay, well, they only, like, I'm not big on Twitter. So I only have like maybe 30 followers.
Yeah.
You know, I have more downloads than that, but they don't look at that. They look at the followers and they're like, oh, Jesus, you know, is they really that big? Because they'll have like hundreds of followers. But check it out. I mean, I really want to get people together to really showcase what they do and what they love. And then everyone can help out each other, because maybe you're doing something 10 times better than what I'm doing. So I'm going to feed off you and vice versa. Maybe I have some ideas I can shoot your way.
Well, that's the thing. Like you even people who you and even people who you could view as like, okay, they're not even close to the level where I'm at. You can learn something from everybody. Everybody has something to offer that you don't have yet.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at things. Like, everybody has something to offer, for sure.
There is podcast conventions up in Philly, New York, D.C., but they're for the big-time mainstream podcasters. Yeah. Why can't we do something here in the South region? Like, do something for South Carolina, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Yeah.
The Carolina Podfest, you know, like something.
I guarantee you that thing would that would catch on bigger than you think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've reached out to a couple podcasts, but there's actually some really heavy hitters podcasting in South Carolina. They're just more Greenville,
right.
You know, closer to Georgia. But there's some heavy hitters out there. And, you know, I would love if once I get everything set in stone.
Right.
I'm going to really reach out to them. If I have to go onto their show and preach to them,
dude, that's the thing to do. And I actually, you said you looked at an article that was, you know, how to grow your podcast and things like that. And that's, I might have seen the same article, because I saw one that said, you know, you definitely want to, you know, try to seek out other podcasts in your area and be guest on those podcasts. Drive up the articles online about yourself, like make yourself more easily accessible on the internet in a way.
Oh yeah,
and like have things like that happen. And dude, like, what's funny is you contacted me in the middle of my realization of trying to grow my own brand for a thing. And I know you're not. I don't like to say grow brand, because I don't like to use those terms, but that's inevitably what it is.
Well, even if you don't have a podcast, if you have a social media,
right,
you're growing your brand.
Yeah, exactly.
I look at it as even if I'm taking personal pictures of me at the beach with my toes in the sand,
right,
and if I'm ever worrying about likes, you're growing your brand. Yep. You are your brand. In the world that we live in today, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, everything that you do, you're your own brand. So you want to make your brand bigger.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you would be naive to think like, okay, well, YouTubers do this. There's Insta famous, you know, there's
absolutely,
there's these things that like, and you want a piece of this pie because it seems so simple.
Yep.
So you know, it is a brand.
A lot of those are right place, right time, man. Oh, have you seen the construction worker?
No, I haven't.
Dude, there's this construction worker who was trying to show his daughter how easy it was to become an online influencer.
Yeah.
And dude, he just started taking pictures of like just job sites that he was working on and hashtagging correctly, dude. And he might have 30 or 40 posts.
Yeah.
And he's got like millions of followers already. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, just knowing, just right place, right time, knowing what to do, falling into a niche.
No, I mean, you know, I've had success on my personal Instagram a couple times. I'm a huge advocate. I love that there's a beer. There's only one beer that I drink nowadays because I don't really drink too much beer. But if I do, I drink Sweetwater Blue. Sweetwater is a brewing company out of Georgia.
Yep.
And I like the blueberry version of it, so I call it Sweetwater Blue. But I've taken pictures with the beer many times. Nothing happened. And one time I took a picture of it. The company itself took my picture and put it on their main page.
Nice.
But it blew up my Instagram. Then overnight I got 300 followers extra.
That's pretty awesome.
Just because of one picture. And yeah, so it's like it is luck sometimes. Just this podcast. I told you I've done over 100 and some. I can see you've done over 100 and some episodes. Yeah. You know, all it takes is that one podcast for someone to just stumble across. Right. That's like anything. It's like music. Okay, think about it. You've been in the music industry forever.
Yes,
all it takes is that one song. Somebody to get the Aaron Lewis is coming to town. He's playing at the House of Blues soon. I love Aaron Lewis. So the fact that this man. You know, just think, he could just stumble across one of your songs and be like, I need you to open up for me.
Yep.
You would be smitten, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, I did. I mean, I was a Stained fan.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Stained fan back in the day. But no, I mean, like that's exactly what it is. It's like right place, right time. It takes one post, one song, one episode, one shot. It takes one thing. And like they say, the Thomas Edison tried and failed, you know, hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't fail hundreds of times. He just had found hundreds of ways not to make a light bulb or whatever, you know. And so that's the thing. That's the thing that I'm thinking of here with the podcast is like we get 160 episodes and then we get to 180 and then we get to 200 and then to 300. I believe that whether I make, you know, a ripple in the world or not,
yeah,
I'm gonna continue to do this podcast until the day I die.
Yeah.
And I've already committed to that. So I think once you get to the point where you're like, I'm gonna do this no matter what, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. And then I think it's easier. Once I got to that, I think my numbers started getting better, like my downloads and just consistency and staying with the thing. This shit's hard to do, man. It's hard to like find the motivation when you like I have to release an episode every Sunday, every Wednesday, and now I've, you know, a couple years in, I might skip a day or something like that, but I'll make up for it and tell the listeners and stuff like that. But man.
It's
tough.
There's a saying that I love. It's if what is it? You do what makes you happy, and you never work a day in your life.
Yep.
You know, I'm not seeing a lot of benefit money wise from doing this. Yep. I never went into it thinking that I would ever make money from it. So any ad revenue I do get now is always a blessing.
Right.
But it's just so much fun. I love to talk. I have so many stories. I meet wonderful people. Look, I'm here right now. I met you.
Yeah, man. This is the first time we've met officially, by the way. This is like we've had a podcast together over the phone, but this is the first meeting. This is nice, man.
Well, see, this is what I love. I love meeting people and just picking their brains. It's not that sometimes you meet the person and you don't get along. That's fine. But you at least tried.
Right.
And one of the things focusing on the community part of it is that's what I want to do. I want to meet other podcasts. I mean, I have invited, and there's so many different, everyone has different things. So some people just talk about everything under the sun. And some people just talk about, there's another podcast group out there. It's like Myrtle Beach Stoners. There's just guys talking about everything, but they're just talking about it stone, just like how they feel about that. Then there's, people that just do reviews on rap music that I've reached out to. There's people that there's a cop, a woman cop that just talks about her daily life as a cop in South Carolina. And she does a podcast. So I've reached out to so many different things.
Now, all these guys in this area?
No, not all of them are in this area. the Myrtle Beach.
They are.
Not all of them are in this area. Some of them are outside. Some of them are in like Lowell, and some of them are in like Ainer. Yeah, I've heard it. These are some towns I don't know. I don't know South Carolina too well. So like Ainer, Greenville. I reached out to people in Fort Mill. I mean, I'm just trying to, and it's mostly just South Carolina.
Yeah.
Eventually, I will reach out to, what is that called? Cherry Grove. I think that's still in South Carolina. What's above that? It's like Hilton Head, Calabash, things like that. I'm going to reach out a little bit farther and see how far I can get. It just depends. But I just feel like as a community, if we help each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can grow.
Right.
So
that's the thing. That's the trick here. And I've heard Tony Hinchcliffe and Brian Redman talk about it so much. By the way, Kill Tony, people that's been keeping up with my Kill Tony progress, I am on the very last episode, and I'm saving it. I've got one episode left, and I'm completely caught up. 384 episodes of this podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're all hour plus.
Oh, my gosh.
Hour and a half, 2 hours. Like, they're all pretty long episodes. And I, like, started 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So in four months, I've binged 384 episodes of a podcast. But they talk about it all the time where they're like, in music industry, a lot of people are like gunning for each other's jobs and stuff. Not jobs, but like, there's a lot of jealousy involved. And they're like, in the comedy world and then the podcast world, that's almost the exact opposite. It's like everybody's trying to help each other out. Like everybody wants to see other people be successful. That's And that's where I'm at, man. I want to see this area do really well with that.
Like, I recently was on a podcast not that long ago. I'll give them the shout out, Voices of Misery podcast.
Yeah, you told me about that.
I became really real good friends with the Nerd, the main because it's Nerd and Nerdette. They used to be called Myrtle Beach Nerds.
Yeah.
Then they kind of changed it to Voices of Misery, and I reached out to him. We were kind of chit chatting about things. And I would love to, I thought about it. If my show and his show got to a level where we're making good money.
Right.
To rent a space.
Yeah.
But share it. Like, mine would be on one, my show would be on one side, his show would be on the other. And then the middle would be like a big green open room area. Like a green room, but for other podcasts. Like, if we're doing a big show with other people.
Right.
Or we can rent it out to up-and-coming podcasters. Teach them.
That's a really good idea.
This is how you would do it. This is how you would do this.
Do a master class almost.
Yeah, just kind of like help them out.
Workshop.
Yeah, and then let them use our equipment. Let them record the podcast. Because sometimes you don't have that equipment at home. Sometimes there's too many loud noises around. Sometimes there's just too much going on where you just can't, sit down and actually concentrate enough to do a good show. And I just want to give so much back because I took so much as a young child from so many people that now I'm at a point where I want to give back and I want to help and I want to do all this. So, I have ideas for days. I'm telling you, I have a little journal I keep at my house and I just fill it with ideas, movie ideas, business ideas.
That's actually really smart, man.
I keep it next to my bed sometimes, and I'll, right in the middle of the night, I'll be like, I was thinking a suction cup for a watermelon. I'll write that down. let me explain. I had this idea, are you ever try to cut a watermelon and just sliding all over the place? Well, why not have a suction cup you put down it sucks to the table and the watermelon, and you can just it holds it while you cut it. So I had this, but here's the problem with that.
That's interesting.
When you cut the watermelon, you're going to cut the suction cup. So I haven't thought of any cool ideas with that. So.
Yeah, the only thing here lately that I've been writing down are jokes. Like, if I think of, like, a funny joke or a funny bit or something that I can use between songs or something like that,
But that's good. You're putting what's in this crazy brain of ours
right.
on something. Like, it makes it more legit when it's on, it's on paper. Here's a story I didn't tell you, and I've been wanting to tell you. Okay. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
So I used to own my own business.
Okay.
It was called Butterface Beard Products. So I did an episode. It was like episode 4 about my Butterface. It was called Butterface.
Yeah.
It was episode 4 of the podcast. I told you the story of how I started it and what happened to
it.
But in a nutshell, I couldn't grow a beard. I had patches and all this stuff, right. And I read online that if you exfoliate, you can grow a beard. And I was like, well, what man out there wants to exfoliate? Right. That's just like, who has time to do that? So then I found out that beard oil has nutrients in it.
Yep.
But I was too cheap. We just bought our house in Charlotte, and I was like, I'll make my own. So I learned recipes. I trialed and error. For 3 months, I went through recipes and recipes just to make beard oil.
Yeah.
And I finally started making good beard oil. And I used it on myself. I don't have any patches. I've had bigger beards. I just recently shaved because of work. But it started growing in because I put vitamin E in it. I put, almond oil, coconut oil. Just depends. Some people are allergic to nuts. And then I had some scents in it. I was at work one day, and someone was like, man, you smell so good. Like, what is that smell? And I was like, well, I don't really wear cologne. It's probably my beard oil.
Yeah.
So then my wife was like, why don't you start selling it? So I went on Etsy, sold it on Etsy. Then I did some, like, I went from beard oil to a pomade, and then I went to a pomade to a shampoo. So those are my three main products. And it was to grow people's beards, but also keep it tamed.
Yeah.
So I did like events where I won with a table and sold and everything.
That's pretty awesome.
And it got pretty big. Like, it actually got scary big. So the problem is, it was handcrafted in the South. That was my slogan. Yeah. I made everything to order. I could not make it ahead of time because I had too many scents.
Yeah.
I made scents like, what is it? Christmas cookie.
Yeah.
I had scents like cotton candy, things that you wouldn't see in other beard oil.
Right.
I figured out a recipe and I made those beard oils because I wanted people to use it and for their loved ones to want to eat their face. Like,
I
wanted to be like, damn, this smells so good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to smell? I feel like girls are more attracted to the guys that smell like cookies than they are.
Oh, dude, my beard oil is like, it's called sexy cinnamon.
See?
Clove. Or whatever called.
At the time.
It's awesome.
At the time, beard oil was literally like teak wood and cedar.
Oh, dude, I've got a cedar. Yeah, sandalwood.
Because those are the most common like essential oils.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to get other flavors. But the trick was I used to use essential oils that you would use in baking. But it's safe for people's skin, but they don't know that. They never knew that. So I would buy like these essential oils that technically you can put in like an almond extract kind of thing. And I just gave my trick up. Anyway, but
bum, bum, bum.
But it was.
I just clicked something. I was like, come on, good.
Okay. Whip it good.
Yeah.
So I made this. I made this stuff. It got really, really big. So I started selling it. One of the guys that I sold it to goes to this barbershop. It was it's in Charlotte. It's called No Grease. There's about 4 of them. They're not too big, but there's 4 of them.
Yeah.
And they love the smell of it. So I made my stuff. I made my pomade with shea butter, and I made it with almond oil. But mostly shea butter.
Yeah.
Because I use shea butter over coconut butter because shea butter is really better for the skin.
Yeah.
And it can also work on different types of skin because black folks have different hair than white folks do. So because of that, I wanted something that everyone can use.
Yeah.
Even babies. If you really wanted to rub it on the baby's head, you could. Because that's how I was looking at it. So he was at a barbershop, and the owner was like, I love this smell. So I actually sat down with the owner of all four of the barbershops, and we cut a deal where they would buy my stuff in bulk.
That's pretty awesome.
They would sell it there. It's awesome, but I was very selfish, and I didn't want no one to help me. So me working a full-time job, providing for my family, because my wife stays at home.
Right.
And also trying to do this business on the side. I put $2,000 into that business, and then at the end of the business, I walked away with $20,000.
That's still, you know.
So I could have took it farther.
Now, did you sell it?
I did sell it. So, okay. After that, it started getting a little too big. I got upset with them because I sold my stuff for like $11 a bottle.
Yeah.
But it was a good amount because they were saying on the high end, 13, on the low end, 7. I would make a profit of $5 off that bottle. But they would sell it for $15. And then people were saying, well, this stuff is too expensive. So they were like tarnishing my brand. So I took it out of the barbershops. And then after that, GQ Magazine in Britain got a hold of a sample of my stuff. And they wanted to do an article. And they loved the name, by the way. The name was the biggest thing. Everyone loved Butterface.
Yeah. Dude, the names make everything, dude.
Well, they loved the name so much. But I got so big that I started just stop doing things. My business started plateauing because the problem with businesses like that, how often do you buy beard oil?
Dude, never.
See, you buy it one time, it should last you about a month, maybe two, if you use it on a daily.
Yeah.
So that was the problem. Like,
I got like a...
See, where you make your business is the return customers. And how do you return customers with a product that's supposed to last long?
Right.
So that was the issue that was coming. So I started doing like lip balm. I had a keychain. I have pictures. I can show you some of the stuff that I did. And I don't know. It got very overwhelmed. I collapsed in it. Some guy came up to me and said, listen, I'm going to buy your, I just want your name. I don't really care about I just want Butterface Beard Products. I want the name. So he wrote me a check and I sold him everything.
That's so awesome, dude.
Now, funny story, about a year and a half ago, the guy, he never used my name. I don't know why he bought my name. Didn't really care. Everything seemed fine. Then he reached out to me and he wanted me to buy back my business. He was trying to sell it back to me.
And he's like, hey, no, man, I don't know about that.
Well, I bought the rights to my name back for a quarter of the price. Like, I think I paid like $5,000 for it.
Yeah.
But now I have the rights again. So it's still in limbo. I still have the Facebook page. I still have, you know, I mean, I had over 2,000. I was getting there. And people were buying it all across the United States. And then eventually I started shipping it to other countries. And that was a big thing. That was my big push. I started, you can get it over the pond now. You can go to Australia and get it.
Right.
So it started getting big, but I don't know. I might go back into it eventually because it was cool. My main goal was to be in Macy's and Sears and JCPenney's. Right. But now Target and Walmart have beard oil. So it's like,
right,
how am I supposed to compete with that?
Now, is your goal to eventually get to a point to where you can be financially stable through just things like that? Because you seem like a hustler, man.
Well, my grandfather, he said something. He said three things to me in my life that resonate. One of the things he said to me was, don't work for the man, be the man.
Right.
And that just always sat in my brain. The other thing was, never date anybody that you can't throw. So don't date a bigger woman than you. And then the last thing he said was, it doesn't matter what color they are, they're all pink inside. I love my grandfather.
Yeah.
But so those are the three things. I'm sorry if that offended anybody.
Listeners, I think they're pretty good. I mean, if they get offended by anything, I think we would have already done that.
But no, so those are the things he said. But yeah, I've always wanted to provide for my family. I'm gonna see if I can show you a picture of this.
Yeah, man,
that was my
nice
oil, and then I had my own shampoo, which the shampoo sold out all the time because it smelled like orange sickle.
Was
the
color. Nice.
Yeah, so
I got some stuff that doesn't smell like anything. It's just it's like what is it? Argan oil and I don't know. It's this stuff called Viking Revolution.
Okay.
It's cheap. I get it off Amazon.
That's okay. If it works, it works. The whole point of it is I want hair growth. I want it. The reason I really wanted to broadcast to people to get them to I wanted them to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, and I know customer service. I've been in customer service for a while. Like, so right. I've had incidents where people would contact me saying, I didn't like this. And I would refund it and let them keep the product.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might think that's crazy. But to me, that's good customer service.
It is. And what are you going to do with a used product anyway? Yeah,
exactly. And so I would do it. Now, if it became a habit, maybe we would have to change some things around.
Right.
But since it was really only one person, I'm sorry. It's not for everyone. Just like my podcast might not be for everyone.
Right.
So... But that was a fun story.
Yeah, dude. No, that's really awesome. That's you know, it takes balls to go out and, you know, try something like that.
I failed though.
But dude, it takes nuts to do that, man. Like I mean just to have an idea to go after something like beard oil and actually go through that's intense, man.
That put me and my wife, you know, we were just married. We just bought a house, and I'm maxing out a credit card to make this business. And in the end, we got money back from it. But it's just kind of like, if I didn't get money back from it, it would have been a very expensive hobby that I would never get any money back.
Oh, man.
I have some of those. There's a couple other hobbies I have that I'll never get any money back from it, but it's more of like a collecting thing.
Yeah. What's your collecting?
I used to play. I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd. So I used to play this game called HeroClix.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a D&D, but it's in a Magic the Gathering kind of thing. But it's more of like these little figures. You roll the dice and you can go up and fight each other. There's player cards. It's like Pokemon, D&D, Magic, all wrapped into one. But it's for superheroes. You know, not just Marvel, but for DC. And, you know, so for the longest time, I would collect them and pick them up. And I would actually go to little comic shops and play them. But there's no return from that. You don't make money off that.
Yeah. Now, is this like most of the collectibles, like most of the pieces are the expensive thing?
Yeah. Well, because you got to think about when you buy, they're called bricks. They're about $150 a piece. So you buy them and you get probably about like 30, 40 pieces. So these little pieces are just, you know, some of them are good. But then there's rare ones. There's ones that are like you can go online and some of them are like worth like $400 or $500. Oh, so, I have a whole box of them at my house. I don't play anymore. You know, I'm so invested into my podcast that every little hobby I do, it's kind of pushed off to the side, which is not a bad thing. But it's still there. If anybody came out of Woodworks and was like, I'll play in some HeroClix, I'll be like, all right, I'll do this. The rules have changed over the years. I've learned, but, you know. But it's
fun. Are you sure?
it's fun. It's just a little hobby of mine, and
that's cool, man.
But I think in the end, what I've learned from everything is that you're gonna fail. You're gonna fall on your face, and you're gonna suck at something. But you just got to keep rolling with it,
right?
And that's what I'm doing now.
That's the trick, man. Attrition is everything, man. You sometimes you just gotta keep going, and. I don't know. I've gotten to the point to where I don't think I have anything that I was trying to get into woodworking.
Okay.
I was trying to get into woodworking for a while and just I did a couple of wands. Like I made a couple of like. Well, I started out and I made one that I was like, this looks like it was made with a lathe and a turn. Mm-hmm. And I started with a giant square piece of oak and I was like really proud of that, and it turned out really, really good. I made it for a friend of mine's birthday party for like a Harry Potter wand.
Yeah,
and I did it all by hand, and I was like, this is something that I could do, man. I think I could do this again. So then I made another one, which is like nothing. It looks like shit in a way, and I was like, dude, okay, so maybe this is not something that I'm going to be good at. But then. Then I like took a little more time. I had some friends who she was pregnant. She was about to have a baby. She's a huge Harry Potter fan, and she wanted and her mom. I told her parents, you know, that I had started doing woodwork and I started like trying to make wands. And they're like, make us a wand for her. Her name's Kelsey as well, and make a wand for Kelsey. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I made one for her and her daughter, like a large wand and then a smaller one, like a baby wand basically. And I took a lot of time with them and like smoothed them out and did a lot of sanding and stuff like that, and just realized, oh man, like this is I'm I can't do this in an apartment. I need a space to do this because, like, I just would sit in a chair right here on the floor and roll the rugs back. That way I could just sweep off all of the hard, all the dust and stuff off the hard floor. And because I can't do this here, I have to go somewhere else and do this. And since I'm not ready to leave this yet, I kind of put that on halt. But every halt.
No pun intended. Yeah, I like it.
I kind of halted that and I really want to do that. I've got a couple of nice pieces of curly maple over there that's just I want to do something with. But mostly wands. By something, I mean wands. I'm a Harry Potter nut. I'm that nerd. Like, it's
okay. I like Harry Potter.
Huge Harry Potter nerd, man. I've got like a tapestry, Harry Potter tapestry on my wall, and just big Harry Potter nerd. And that's by saying that is like sticking with the thing that you want to do is a huge part of it. Like I could have probably have been really good at making wands by now if I would have stuck with actually doing it. But I feel like I have to wait until I get a lathe and learn how to turn and things like that. But
you know, one thing, a hobby that I have that I hide from a lot of people is I like to write. I wrote a short story that became like this short novel.
Right on.
But no one knows about it. Well, they know, some people know about it, but no one's ever read it.
Yeah.
And, but it's one of those things where it's tucked away. It's tucked away.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. There's actually have a Harry Potter wand on top of it right now. When I went to the Wizard World and
which one did you get?
No, I got one that it's for nobody.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted one that, you know, I was going to get Dumbledore, but then I wanted the one that's Dumbledore. I know I say it weird.
Yeah.
But I wanted one that no one, because they have generic ones that no one claims it. So it claimed me. Like the wand person was like, "Oh, this one speaks to me." So I was like, "Oh, okay. You know what speaks to you? My money. That's what speaks to you."
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's actually sitting on top of it. But I have a book. It just sits there. It's like a journal, but it has my story. It has my story in it. And I actually have two different types of story, but it just sits there. But eventually, one day, like your carving and your woodmanship. Eventually, I will get back to it. Eventually, one day, I'm going to wake up like, shit, I'm going to finish it today, and this is what's going to happen. So that's what I'm waiting for. I haven't hit that moment. But it has happened before in the past. Like, I've started this story, and then 4 years later, I finish where I'm at right now. And now it's been another 4 years, so I'm just waiting for that day for me to just get that kick up. Like, oh, shit, I need to do this. And that's what's going
to
happen.
I'd like to write more, other than songs. Like, I write songs all the time. Like, I'm constantly writing songs, but I would like to actually write.
Well, you know, so I'm a journeyman meat cutter. I don't cut meat anymore, but I'm basically a butcher. I went to school for it.
Really?
You're
stubborn?
No, I'm not stubborn.
You ever heard that? As stubborn as a butcher?
No. No, I've never heard that one. Okay.
There's a line in a song I like. It's got a line. You've come to know me stubborn as a butcher.
I love blood. I love guts. I love the idea of grass to plate.
Yeah.
If you can harvest your own meal, like that's something manly about it.
Yeah.
So I went to, you know, I did my journey. I did my apprenticeship, went through all that, got my license to be a journeyman meat cutter. I did it for probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Myrtle Beach. And so that's what I did right before I moved to Myrtle Beach.
So in Charlotte, you were a meat cutter.
Yep. Harris Teeter.
Right, man.
You know, I actually the guy I do the podcast with, Griffin, I worked with him. That's how I met him. He's still a meat cutter. When I got down here, though, they don't pay him as well as they used to.
And that used to be like a big deal. I remember my dad was trying to push me into doing that. Like, you can go in there cutting meat at the food line, and they make good money, man.
Well, it's a dying art. They don't, a lot of places don't. They get all prepackaged now.
Yeah. Well, when we're getting notifications that, you know, literally the last notification that I got says, you know, something about how your meat intake could affect climate change or whatever.
Yeah, so that's so dumb. But there's something very peaceful when I'm out dealing with some angry customer about, no, I asked for a crown roast.
Right.
I'm just sitting there just cutting fillets or just cutting, like, you know, It's very peaceful with a knife. It's like an artistry. It's kind of like probably how you feel with music. That's how I felt just in the, and I love cold. I'm a big guy. I sweat a lot. I like being cold as shit. So me in the meat department was just, it was everything I ever wanted.
So in other words, don't piss this guy off. You will go missing and not be found.
I have some blades. No, you know, there's a thing out there. And we do talk about it in the meat department. We can easily hide a body. I'm just letting you know. Don't mess with a butcher, because we have tools, we have things, we can easily hide a body. And I know how to.
I thought I had a
shishing.
Ha.
But so that's that was a thing. I really wish I would stay into it, but it's just nothing down here. The only two places down here that still cut meat fully is like Costco.
Yeah.
And some Kroger's might, but not like Harris Teeter. Harris Teeter, besides that coming in like a half rack, I mean,
right?
We still get a good, you know, we'll still get the whole butt section of the cow and things like that. But it's much much different now.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's already like coming pre-cut, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it is just trimming the fat. That's a lot of the stuff is just trimming the fat.
So. As is life.
Yeah,
as is life. Most life is just trimming the fat, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's also spiked up, you know, with me cutting meat. I mean, I love to cook. So it all falls into place. These are things that I love to do.
I love to cook, hate to clean.
I can get that one. I can get that one.
Love to cook, hate to clean.
I
mean.
What? It looks clean enough for me. I mean, this is.
Yeah. I always say, this is the first guest I've ever had where I didn't say, sorry for my house, a human lives here. But At what point,
who cares, right? I don't care. I don't care what the house looks like. Yeah, I'm here for you. I'm here to record with the great and powerful.
The great and powerful. I stole. Happy birthday, Joe Rogan, by the way. It's Joe Rogan's birthday today. The great and powerful. No, I'm really glad you agreed to come down here, man. Like I said, I just want to make it comfortable for whoever's going to be on here. And most people aren't as used to you are as speaking to an audience. Mm-hmm. Not many people are used to that. So they'll be, you know, not knowing what to expect and then get a little uncomfortable. So I usually try to keep liquor here, you know, try to keep something to like offer them, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, here's something to, you know, help you, you know, get over that little, you know, cold feet or whatever you have.
I lost that a long time ago.
Yeah, me too, man.
Well, like I've never been, I've been in plays. I used to play bass. I mean, I've played shows before, not too many, but I've just been in a situation where, I'm not stage. I don't have stage fright. I don't have any of that. And I don't. Yeah, I know you definitely don't. So talking into a mic. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of listening to my own voice. Never have been. So that's.
Well, you got a good voice.
So that's why I try my best to just throw whatever podcast I do, just throw it out there.
Yeah.
I try not to edit it. Fun fact, I talked about this on the podcast you were on with me. I wanted to be a radio disc jockey when I was really young. But people told me I had to, I have a speech impediment. I still have it. I try really.
It's not noticeable.
Well, certain words, water, the wither, you know, like I have. There's certain words that made me sound like a 4-year-old.
Is it always the R sound?
It's mostly the R's and W's. R's and W's. I definitely have a problem enunciating properly.
Yeah.
I have what you call a oversized tongue, where like sometimes it just collapses.
Yeah.
You know, my shit just, this is too much going on in my mouth right now. So it's just sometimes like either too much saliva gets built up. And there was this huge problem when I was a child in school. I would have to go like once a week to like this, the speech class for them to try to help me out. So I was always scared to do it. And I'd listen to people. People told me radio's dying. You'll never be in it. So that's
radio will never die.
Yeah, I don't think radio will die, especially now. Podcasting is growing so big, and this is the new talk radio.
This is radio, this is it. This will never die.
Yeah.
I tell you what will die is FM radio. I don't think will go anywhere ever. Like, the only thing that I think that most people will get sick of the edited nature, people that love to listen to the radio or the same radio station that you could play at your church functions because you know that there's not going to be anything negative or any bad words. for lack of a better term, man, some people just don't like not hearing fuck and shit every now and again. They just don't like that. They just, it's not the same for them. And I'm one of those people. I don't want to hear people just cuss and foul mouthed all the time. I want to know I'm getting that person, honestly. I want to know that I'm getting that. Not all those things that you see on Facebook all the time is like, oh, well, you know, people who swear a lot are usually more honest and seem like they could put that all on Facebook all they want to, which I personally, I don't know. It could be accurate, but I know that I want to hear these people uncut. I don't want them to think that there might be something that they can't say, or there might be something that they don't want to talk about. And that's why the podcast and like satellite radio and things like that, where people can be who they actually are, like unedited. I love that.
Why do you think Howard Stern became so big?
Right.
He was raw.
Yeah.
Raw as anything.
Yeah. There will never be another like that on FMA radio. There will never be anything like that ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we live.
And we keep talking about Joe Rogan. It's his birthday. I mean, he's raw.
Right.
I mean, he smoked a joint with
Elon Musk.
Yeah. So it's like right on, you know. So it's one of those things where I agree with you 100%.
I think he was trying to get Bernie Sanders to like, dude, it was so good. Did you watch that at all?
I watched because sometimes they'll put like little highlights, like 6 minutes or Jerry
clips.
Yeah, and I watched a couple of those, and I can see it. I can see him. Yeah.
Dude, he was like, no, I never really liked the marijuana. It made me cough a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, it made me cough. And I thought that was hilarious, man, just having him on there. And
well, kudos for Bernie Sanders to do that, because that takes a lot. You know, like
him and Tulsi Gabbard also did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's crazy, too, because it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. You are the face of us. You're the face of us. And this is what we're watching and listening to. Yep. So why wouldn't you be on there? Like when Bill Clinton played the saxophone a long time ago when he was running, you know.
He won the election by that.
Yeah. And then he talked about how he didn't inhale. Like little things like that. But he was there face to face. He was just on the ground level.
Right.
So those are some good things.
Barack Obama did the same thing. He was out in the public eye, man. Like in places where we would see him. And I would say that Joe Rogan's podcast, each episode of his podcast probably has better numbers than a lot of your primetime television shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like I would almost guarantee that. And just why not? Why not utilize that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
I love podcasts.
I've been reaching out lately trying to get more sponsors.
Yeah. But
for stuff that I care about. I'm not going to do like Dollar Shave Club. So I don't really ever shave. I trim down, but I never really get, you know, baby skin.
Right.
So I've been reaching out to like Uber and stuff like that. Like, hey, just for free, just let me have a code that I can give out to my viewers.
You know, like
for St. Patty's Day, we did a special on the podcast, and I was just reaching out to Uber weeks ahead of time saying, hey, we're a podcast, we're growing, but we do have this many listeners. Give me a code. You don't even have to pay me. I just want to, you know, just the status to say, hey, use my code.
Yeah.
You know, and then... And then if Uber saw how many people use my code, then they can start talking about money.
Right.
So that's where I'm at right now with the podcast, is trying to get I want to get a little bit of money. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
Just to see if I can.
Well, it's probably getting to the point now to where it costs money to do.
Well, it costs time.
Yes.
And I think with me working 40, 45 hours a week, coming home, my wife doesn't work, and we really don't have friends down here, so I got to entertain her. But then I have to step away for an hour to do a podcast, and I feel so guilty and bad. This is just my own demons.
Right.
But I feel like it would be justified if I said, oh, well, I made $5 today doing that.
Right.
You know, like, you know, so I made $5 an hour just to do this podcast. And it would be more like, okay, that's fine, because then she can spend my money like she always does. So, don't go down that road.
But no, man, that's where I'm at. I'm to the point now to where it's costing me money to do this. And I'm going to continue to do it no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
But because I chose to go through a Podomatic server, or podcast server that would, you know, do a lot of the legwork for me, it costs money to do that. And my listeners are pretty good, to the point I have a few listeners who, every month, you know, they're willing to donate enough money to pay my monthly fee through that, through the Podomatic. And that's all I care for. And I want, like I said before we started rolling, I wanted to get sponsors as well. I just don't want to get to the point where something happens to me like Tom Segura and Christian Pajewski, who had McDonald's.
Oh.
But then they heard like an episode of the podcast, and Tom and them were like, do you know what we do? Like, do you know what this podcast is? Yeah. And it's like, it's awful if you're not used to that. But they dropped all their stuff, and they had to give all the money back, and I didn't want that to happen.
I mean,
because of my content, because of my mouth, or because of my opinions.
Yeah. Well, here's a story that hit us home. So that podcast that's Emerald's Inlet, they're technically Emerald's Inlet where they live. Voices of Misery podcast.
Right.
They got kicked off Twitter, they got kicked off all their social media things. They were suspended because so when Disney announced they were doing Little Mermaid, they talked about Ariel being a black girl.
Right.
And he gave him his opinion. And I listened to it, and I didn't think it was a lot of things that people think.
Yes.
But they were just saying it because that's just who they are. They're so honest and they're so truthful. And they were just saying it. But someone complained about it, and they lost everything. They got kicked off all these things, all these platforms. They were suspended. They couldn't get on Twitter. They couldn't communicate with anybody. They couldn't do nothing. Then he had to email iTunes, email all these companies, like, why is this happening? And, you know, like, I just voiced my opinion. In the end, they won because they're back up and running and everything.
Right.
And they never took down that episode. But it was just because someone said that they were very ignorant and very racist about that.
Hmm.
And so I get what you're saying. Like, you know, if you had it, because they don't, now they have sponsors, but they didn't have sponsors at that time. So it's one of those things where, like, I have two sponsors on my show.
Yeah.
One of them is the site that I use because it's a free site. So I use, you know, so they give me a little bit of money, but since it's a free site, I use their sponsorship.
Yeah.
And the other one is Flipboard, which I don't really technically use too much, but they're going to pay me money. I'm going to, you know, so, and I'm kind of selling out because of it, but it's
who cares?
You know, it's pennies on dollars. Doesn't really matter. I lost my train of thought. Don't you love ADHD?
Sponsorships.
Yeah, sponsorships. So I try my best not to. We stay at a certain talk. Like, I wanted to talk about the mass shootings.
Right.
I really wanted to talk about it.
Right.
But my buddy Alex was like, that's just too heavy. We need to just step back. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything rude because this is, you know. But he's so into politics that he would have to go down that dark alleyway, and he doesn't want to go down that dark alleyway.
Right.
And me, I'm just want to be like, well, they blame it on anime. And you like anime, so just what?
That's the thing, man. I don't know. I talk about anything that happens on here. And as a matter of fact, I would be a fool. And I know we're in an hour 17 right now, and I know you've got a family to get back to, and I want to get you there. But before we get off, I would be a fool to not bring up the fact that Jeffrey Epstein has allegedly committed suicide.
Allegedly. That's what they're
allegedly committed suicide. And when the collective world hears this news, you know what they thought? Not true. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We have, and by we, I mean, I told you about the Sunset Grill, the conspiracy podcast that I've done. And we have so much content that we have covered on Jeffrey Epstein and all of the Pizzagate stuff and all of that stuff over the last couple of years. And we, from day one, Noah Byrne, the co-host of that show, has been all over this story from day one. And we've got a lot of content just on Jeffrey Epstein. And then we get the news that he has allegedly committed suicide, which the first ever suicide to ever happen at MCC or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I don't want to mess this up. I want to say the right thing here. there's so many green or red flags, green flags, so many red flags here. Alleged camera malfunction last night at MCC where Jeffrey Epstein was locked up. Two guards were both told to leave the area 3 hours for scheduled maintenance. Jeffrey Epstein suicide, apparently first suicide ever committed at MCC in New York. And this is so, just those three things right there.
You smell that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
bullshit, man. There's something's going on, man. There's something fishy. And there is, there's a tweet that I saw yesterday, and these people were asking to not be doxxed or to not be looked into, but they apparently work at the facility and said that there was a van that showed up a couple hours before that happened. And that someone was moved, and then an hour later, he's allegedly committed suicide in this room at 2-3 days after being put on suicide watch.
Yeah.
And there is conspiracy as of right now. We're going to go into this in depth in Sunset Grill when I get Noah Byrne in the chair. But as of right now, there is a small conspiracy that he had been switched out, which if he rolled on some high profile people and they gave him the witness protection deal and they were like, man, you're just going to have to go with it here on this. And
you know,
podcasts are going to be so good over the next couple of months, man.
I'll say this with conspiracies and stuff like that. I still talk to my father. You know, I call him every now and then. He calls me. This man is so obsessed with John F. Kennedy that growing up, I mean, to this day, I mean, he still calls me and just says, oh, well, George Bush Sr. died, so now the tapes are going to be coming out soon. Like, I mean, he's so about John F. Kennedy. So when shit like this happens, I instantly go back to all the stuff my father grilled in my head with John F. Kennedy. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know, they did release the files a couple years ago, and revealed as a second shooter.
Yeah, there's a second shooter, but there's more files.
Right.
According to my father, there's more files. I mean, I try
there is.
And, but there's certain people that need to die off, and one of them was George Bush Sr., because remember, he was part of the CIA at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
And, yeah, so there's a lot of things. So when I heard about Epstein, I was just like, oh, man, George. I mean, I'm not Georgia. Bill, what are you doing?
Man, and here's the thing, though. It's like, and I'm not on either side of this. I think I established that in the last. I'm not, like, politically.
Yeah.
I don't lean either way. I'm libertarian, man. I'm right down the middle, not red nor blue. And there's just so many high-profile people. Trump, Clinton, all of these people together have just, like, all of these names have been in the same sentence before, you know, and just the fact that it could be so many different names that would come out of his mouth that either they literally did somebody. Here's the only thing that I'm sure that didn't happen. I'm pretty sure that he did not kill himself.
No,
I'm pretty positive that that's the consensus right now.
Now, I feel like everyone agrees with you. He didn't kill himself. I think he is dead. I don't know about the witness protection thing. I do.
That's just well, my fault. No, by yeah, no, that's that fine. Was just that no, was
that's
just
fine. My biggest thing is I do think he is dead, but he did not kill himself.
Yeah,
there's just
I've seen House of Cards. I know how this works.
House of Cards, Sons of Anarchy. I mean, these are some things that happen.
You watch House of Cards?
I do. Well, I didn't see the last season. After, no offense, I love Kevin Spacey.
No, so. Doug Stammer's my boy, man.
Really? You love Doug?
Oh, no, Michael Kelly, that's my dude, man. That's like, that's my boy.
But no, House of Cards is good. That's a good show. See, that's as far politically I would go, is literally watching House of Cards. Yeah. I try to stay just like you. I voted for Ralph Nader for years, and then this past election, I didn't vote for nobody. So
yeah, I didn't vote the last one either.
Yeah, the only reason why I voted for Ralph Nader is because legalized marijuana.
Yeah, right. I didn't vote because my only voting option this past year would have been Gary Johnson, and I just yikes. I just didn't care. I wasn't going to vote for Trump. I wasn't going to vote for Hillary. I just didn't. Yeah,
there's I don't know. I'm staying out of politics.
You're right. I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I just don't give a shit.
I know. Don't matter to me. I do have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm 180. Get away from politics, real quick.
Okay.
Why Alabama? I don't know if you talked about this on the podcast, and if
I don't know if I've specifically talked about it before. It may have come up, but my family's from Alabama. My dad and my uncle were born in Alabama, and I went, and when I was a kid, you know, I would just whatever hat I saw that I liked, I would put that on. You know, that I had when I was a kid. There was a time where I wore a Clemson hat. There was a time when I wore a Texas hat. But I went and stayed a summer with my cousins in Alabama one time, and my cousins in Alabama are all Crimson Tide. They're all Roll Tide. And I was just obsessed with that. Like, they lived on a mountain in Sylacauga, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I came back. I came back home, and, like, it was nobody around me were Alabama fans, you know. It was just now my stepmom was an Alabama fan, and I'm, my dad as well. My dad's a pretty big Alabama fan, but my granddad was an Auburn fan.
Oh,
and I found out at his funeral.
Oh man!
Right. So I would have been an Auburn fan had I learned that before then, and that just I shudder to think that because fuck Auburn, but
War Eagle,
yeah. Fuck that. But nah, man, like yeah, that's Alabama. That I just stayed one like basically a couple weeks in Alabama with my cousins who were just huge Alabama fans, and I came back home, and that was the man. Team that I picked. I just picked that team and. We weren't good, man. It was the kind of thing where I could just, I don't know, just say a Roll Tide. Roll Tide just was such a cool thing to say. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being somewhere, like walking down the street with my girlfriend and in Charleston and see a guy with an Alabama hat on me, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. And then she'd be like, mm-hmm. What's that? Did you know that guy? Nope. No.
Well, sure see, didn't. That's why I love sports. Nope. There's always something. Like, if I had to pick a college, see, I'm not really big on college football, but if I had to pick one, it'd be the Gamecocks because of my brother-in-law. He's a Gamecock, so I always say, go Cox.
There you go.
If I see someone, you know, wearing Gamecock stuff, I'll say, go Cox.
Yeah.
I also say it because I like saying cock. But
you get away with saying that in public, you know.
Yeah, yeah. See, but.
Why deny it?
But I'm that fair weather fan when it comes to college football. When it comes to college football, I enjoy football. I'll watch my NFL team, but I'll still watch other teams because to me, I just enjoy the sport. And the same with baseball.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Oh yeah, you know I love me some Ravens. Which you should like the Ravens because a lot of their defense they draft a lot of Alabama people. So
well, in Alabama's defense, it's not just the Ravens. There's a lot of NFL.
You're right.
I had to choose an NFL team, I would probably. And a lot of people are like, really? I would lean towards the Cleveland Browns. Only because when they win the Super Bowl, it is going to be the biggest thing in the history of sports.
Well, good for them. I agree.
It will be.
I love my Ravens. Die hard. Yeah. Don't like the Browns. But I will say this. If the Browns make it farther than the Ravens, I will never wear brown orange.
Right.
But I would secretly root for them, not only because they're in my division. It's just the fact that story, right. The storyline, like the Eagles. I can care less about the Eagles, but the storyline of the Eagles. You have to understand, Canton, Ohio, is the birthplace of the NFL.
Right.
American football started there, and that's right down the road from Cleveland. So you're telling me that. The birthplace of football, and this team, I don't even think has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, that's like the Yankees and the Mets both being awful.
Yeah. Oh man, that's.
And just, when's the last time that's happened?
Well, look,
where both of them were bad.
Do you watch basketball at all?
I follow it, but I don't. I do.
I'm a Knickerbocker fan.
Okay.
So I like the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they fucking suck ass. I've always liked the Knicks because of Patrick Ewing in the 90s.
I was a big Patrick Ewing fan. When Space Jam came out, picked Patrick Ewing, and I picked the Knicks.
And I liked the Knicks, too, because it was like the only New York thing that I liked was the Knicks. Didn't like their hockey team, didn't like anything else. I just liked the Knicks.
Yeah.
So I've always liked the Knicks, and they suck. But I agree with you. Anything New York's just – you need to thrive.
Yeah, man. New York will always have one team that's solid. Well, because there's so many to choose from.
Well, the Yankees will always be even they might not win for years.
Yeah.
They're still the Yankees. They still have 27, 28, I think, or something like that. Some stupid World Series record.
The most, some of the most beautiful baseball history is surrounding the Yankees. Like,
hey, listen, Babe Ruth from Baltimore. Thank you.
did you know, by the way, that, did I say this in the podcast, that Camden Yards is built on the site of the bar that Babe Ruth's dad owned?
No, I didn't know that.
Camden Yards is built on the like the site where the bar, where Babe Ruth was running behind the bar as a kid.
Well, you know, it's funny. I knew his dad had a bar because it was actually attached to Memorial Stadium, well, near Memorial Stadium, which is the original stadium.
Yeah.
They tore that down. Now it's a parking lot for Camden Yards,
right.
And that, well, it's also, it's called the Bird Walk. It's also for the Ravens Stadium. But I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know the Orioles, we've only, baseball-wise, we haven't been around for a long time.
Right.
But there's a lot of history there. A lot of
people. Oh, yeah, man. Dude, we talked about this on your podcast, man. Earl Weaver and Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson and just all of those names that every baseball head should know. And dude,
I don't know, Chipper Jones.
Wait,
you guys still have Nick Markakis?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, he used to be an Oriole.
Yes, we do. Listen, Nick Markakis is my favorite Brave, and he's my favorite Brave because he took less money so that those kids that are going to be getting a long term contracts could get paid.
That's how I feel about Dustin Pedroia. I can't say his damn name.
Pedroia the Destroyer.
Yeah, you know, the Sox, they're in my division. I'm not the hugest fan of them, but the fact that someone would take less money
so that other people could, his team would
be
better.
That is what you call a team player. That is unselfish. In the world we live in, no one does this anymore.
Nobody.
Maybe Tom Brady, but I don't want to say that. But maybe he might take a little less just to make sure he wins another Super Bowl because he's Brady that cocky.
I tell you what, if motherfucking Kobe Bryant would have took less money,
oh my God,
how many rings would he have? He'd be the undisputed greatest GOAT.
Oh, yes.
But he ain't going to take no less money.
Now, basketball,
LeBron James will take less money.
Yeah, he would. You know, I'll say this about basketball. NBA is doing something different. They're getting big. MLS MLS is getting big in this country, and the NBA is getting bigger in this country.
NBA is getting bigger worldwide.
See, that's another thing.
That's a huge thing.
You got over in Spain, you got the UK, you got Australian teams now. I mean, so, and these are like farm systems.
Yep.
So, yeah, NBA is definitely different. I remember back in the day when NBA was on a strike, and now look at them. They've turned this around.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're, I mean,
all the characters.
The best thing that NBA did, and I know people are going to say this is a sellout, but putting a little advertisement on their jersey made them so much money.
Oh, yeah.
And I would hate to see it on an NFL jersey, but it's the inevitable.
That it's going to happen anyway. Yes. Dude, just because there's advertising, if you've seen any futuristic movie where there's a sports game where they're all just a walking billboard. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the one that utilizes the fuck out of that is NASCAR.
And
you would think that, oh, these guys. But you know what? You say what you want to about those rednecks. They know how to make money.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't give a shit. I'll admit, I watch the race.
That's fine.
I do.
I wouldn't expect. But, I mean, I know you're from the South, so I wouldn't expect every true Southerner that I've met.
Yeah.
They will never. Some of them will say, "Oh, I don't watch NASCAR." But I grew up watching NASCAR. Right. I don't watch it anymore because it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, NASCAR is a thing down here.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I learned was college basketball. Now, college basketball in Maryland is – so growing up in Maryland, football is big.
Yeah.
Baseball was big, but football was big. Lacrosse is probably the second biggest.
Really?
Lacrosse is huge in Maryland. I mean, Johns Hopkins, you got Loyola, you got University of Maryland, you got UMBC, you got, you know, all these teams for lacrosse. So when I moved to North Carolina, I realized how big college basketball was.
Yes, right there in North Carolina, because that Carolina Duke thing.
Oh, that is a real thing. They shut local stores shut down.
Carolina Duke is the closest thing that I've ever seen to Alabama Auburn. And the Clemson Carolina the rivalry, that's cute, but that's nothing like Duke Carolina or Alabama Auburn.
Well, if you think about it like that, it's Alabama and Auburn to me is like LA and Boston. It's like it's like New York Yankees Sox, you know.
Yeah.
It's
like, more like the Palestines and the Jews. You know,
like. It's so from what growing up, learning about Alabama, I'll say this. There's really no – so if you look where Alabama is, there's really no professional teams.
Nothing.
So they're going to love their football.
Right.
And that's what they do. A question I actually wanted to ask you when you were talking about Alabama, I just remembered. So would you – where would you rank Nick Saban? Where would you rank him in your the world of Alabama? Because it seems like right now he's, you know.
I'm going to say number one. Mm-hmm. Because he has so much more shit to deal with than Bear Bryant had. Now,
yeah.
Now, not only this, and not to take anything away from the great Paul Bear Bryant, Roll Tide, not to take anything away from him, but men were harder back then, naturally. So you already have tougher people. Nick Saban, in a time when most kids play video games and are softer, has built the most prestigious football program out of nothing. And we had nothing. For those that don't remember, in those years prior to Nick Saban, like, we had nothing. And just to deal with the media, all of the questions, all the cameras around, and having to answer social all media. These things.
I mean, these kids social nowadays, media. Are, yeah, their attention span. I mean, look at us. Our attention span right. is nothing. So,
right.
I can see that. I wish he was, you know, didn't Nick Saban coach the Redskins?
He coached Miami Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Did he? No, who won?
Two winless. He won.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, he won six games one season. He led the Miami Dolphins to basically the worst season they've ever had, and then that was after he left LSU. He went to Miami Dolphins, and then he came back to Alabama.
And ever since then, it's been
business as usual.
I don't know.
It's not our year. This isn't our year. Clemson's not going to be in it this year. Alabama's not going to be in it this year.
See. I like the underdog story. I want to see
for the sake of the game, somebody else needs to win.
I want to see Notre Dame. I want to see Utah. I want to see teams that you don't normally see.
See
in there. I want to see, you know, the Longhorns. I used to like the Longhorns because the hat. I agree with you too.
Yeah.
I just liked it was a cool fucking hat.
The color, that color of orange is like just so nice. Yeah,
and the fact that they had a Longhorn on the sideline, like this is just some cool stuff. Definitely, I never really liked Georgia. Nothing about the Braves. Braves are fine. It's just
Well, Braves are fine because of Ted Turner. Like he put the Braves all across the nation with TBS.
Yeah, I'm about to say Ted Turner did a lot for Georgia.
Yes, he did.
I talked about this a long time ago. I believe that if it wasn't for Ted Turner, the Marvel Studios and other movie studios that are in Georgia wouldn't be there. Ted Turner made them come there because
I could see that, for sure.
He had broadcast so much stuff over the world from Georgia.
Yeah.
And he showed them, and then obviously tax cuts and things like that.
Yeah.
But he brought people there. And there was this huge article that I read when I was really, like, younger, when Marvel first started.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they film in Georgia and how all these other films are coming in Georgia. And they say it's because of the tax cut, but they also say that Ted Turner did so much for that state. Made it that way.
And plus, you're a 20-minute drive between a metropolitan area and a swamp.
Yeah.
You know, you're
you can do anything you want.
So you don't have that in Hollywood.
No.
You don't have that natural setting in Hollywood. You're literally an hour's drive away from anything you would need. Mountains.
Yeah.
You know, swamps, metropolitan areas. There's just so much right there.
Next time you're in Charlotte, go past the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Probably about a mile. That's where they filmed District 9 of the Hunger Games.
I've not seen that.
I read online because I was like, my wife likes the Hunger Games and I watched it with her, but the poor town, they actually filmed it right there, right off. It's literally between a Walmart and a NASCAR stadium. How redneck
is that? What more do you want? Yeah, they nailed that one.
Oh, man, but no.
But yeah, man, we got a pretty good bit of content. Yeah. I don't want to keep our listeners for longer, or you actually. But what is your MO, and what is your if you had, say, 10 years from now?
Yeah.
people are going to be listening to this stuff, what would you want to leave with the world? What's your MO? What do you think you want to leave with the
I would say
listeners?
I just hope that we I hope podcasting is still as big as it is now or even bigger.
I'm sure.
I hope companies, you know, when YouTube came out, all these YouTubers, they got so big that they actually made companies. And I really hope that's what I want to achieve as a podcaster. I want to create a community in the Southeast region, and I want to make it like a business. Yeah. I want to have all these different people under this big umbrella. I don't know what it'll be called, but we'll figure it out eventually. And I'm hoping that's what happened in 10 years. So we're all there to help each other. If you're missing content, if you don't know what's going on, like have a sports podcast on the team, have a news podcast, a politic podcast, yeah. Have a, you know, a musician, you know, a little musician's corner, like a little podcast all about just local music going on there. Just talking about like, you know, the struggles of local music and how it's still a thing, but people just forget about it because they're so busy doing other things.
Right.
You know, I really want to make something bigger than me, but I want to involve everybody that I can. And I want to meet a lot of new people. If I could travel right now, I would. I wish I would have known this 10 years ago before I had my daughter. When I first met my wife, I wish I would have did the podcast when I originally wanted to do it, because I would have had 10 years under my belt. Right. I would have had hopefully more viewers than I have now. but no, I mean, my MO is just really podcast wise. I want to take Couch on Fire podcast to another level. I recently just started one of my good buddies started a new podcast, and I started co-hosting with him.
Yeah.
And it's strictly Disney. He's a huge Disney buff. And I was like, I like Disney. I grew up with Disney. So we just do a podcast about Disney, and that's what
we're doing. Do you have guests on that show?
Right now, we're only 4 episodes in. So
if you ever have guests, I want to do that.
Okay, absolutely. We'll get you on that show.
I am weirdly into Disney.
So we, you know, I was telling him, because I know this girl that I've met in Charlotte who used to work for Disney. So I'm reaching out to her. We will eventually have guests. This is his thing, and I want it to known that it's his thing. Sure, I want him to be proud of it and be so, because if it feels like I'm taking over it.
Right.
Because, like, I'm so strong-headed with my own podcast that I don't want to – I'm, like, letting him do his own thing. Yeah. But it's called OMO Podcast. It's Our Mouse Overlord Podcast. And, every Thursday we put something out. I think we only have 4 episodes now. But I told him I would do an episode with him, but he got so many good feedback that me and him just bounce each other ideas off each other. There's no, like, I'm talking over you kind of thing. That he was like, Rob, I just need you on there. And I'm like, I guess I can do 2 podcasts.
Yeah.
See, I want to be able to help other people grow their shit.
Yeah.
But I also want to be able to grow me as a company. Eventually, exactly. I would love for me to just kind of step back and just do one show and then have everyone and me helping everyone else and then somehow make that a business. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's where we're headed, and I really like where your head's at, man. That's awesome. Like you've got a great mind for that. Like you're a hustler, dude. You're constantly figuring out ways to
trying.
Trying is it. You know, there's a what is it? What did Yoda say? Try not, do only.
Yeah, Yoda said a lot of dumb shit. good shit. I love Yoda. Don't worry. I love me some Star Wars. I'm glad you invited me here. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you coming.
We're going to talk a little bit more after this show. I'm just, certainly. You know, I want to pick your brain for some other things privately.
Man. Right.
And then I definitely want to, we got to do this again.
1,000%.
Cool. And I want to reach out to other podcasters. Anybody out there that knows another podcast that you like that's in the South region, please reach out to any of us and just try to, you know, just talk. Let's just talk. Let's just talk about why do you love podcasting? What do you want out of this? Everyone, in the end, don't be dumb and naive. I would love to quit my job and just talk all day. That's the dream. That's the dream. Just be yourself.
That's what we aim for.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say I'm not in it for the money. That'd be great if I make money. But it's also fun just to do it.
Right.
And I think it's cool. It's cool. When people hear, I'm a podcast, like I have a couple things I'm giving you, like stickers, pins, but I have business cards.
Appreciate that, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do have window decals, but I left them at home.
That's fine.
You know, for the car, for, you know, sponsorship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I'm whispering in the mic. That was weird.
Because these headphones are great and they sound amazing.
Don't they?
Sponsored by Samson.
But no, I think that's what I want. That's what I want to do. I really want to take this to another level. I don't know. I have so many topics I want to talk about. The thing is, though, if this podcast wasn't successful and it failed, that's fine. Right. I have another idea I can talk about. I can talk about being a parent of an autistic child. I can make a whole podcast about that. I know so many parents out there that struggle.
That would probably be a really good podcast.
I have so many ideas I can talk about. I know sports are overrated, but I can talk about sports. You know, someone from up north moved down to the south, learned about college football. I mean, these are so many different shows that you could do.
Yep.
So if you're not doing a podcast, I challenge you to do a podcast.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm telling you, you're not the only person. This is cliche as hell. You're not the only person going through this stuff.
Yes.
So you need to sit down and just talk about it.
Right.
Because you'll never know the people that you meet, and you never know who's going to come across your podcast. So.
You truly never know. I do suggest everybody should have a podcast. And before we get completely out, where's the name come from, Couch on Fire?
So I honestly don't know. We were so when me and Alex sat down, we're like, let's do a podcast. I was like, what the hell can I? What's a good name? And then there was a podcast that this actor does. His name's Dax Shepard.
I know Dax.
Yeah, him and his wife, Christian Bell, whatever, they do a podcast in their attic, and they're sitting on couches opposite of each other. And I was like, man, that'd be a cool idea. Like, let's call it the couch podcast. Let's call it the couch something. And my wife was just like, well, if your topics are hot, maybe you should just call it, you know, the couch is hot podcast. And I was like, that sounds dumb as shit. But I picked her brain.
Sorry, honey.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, the couch is on fire. How do you like that? And she was like, that's dumb as shit. But I was like, I'm going to roll with this one. This one's nice. So then I told Alex, and he didn't like it at first. But then it sticks with you.
Yeah.
The logo I got from Fiverr. You know, I just got someone on there. I said, it's called Couch on Fire. Shoot me some ideas. And some random college student made this logo, and I just stuck with it. I did the wording. I mean, I did the lettering. Him or her just did the actual Couch on Fire. The Butterface thing is actually a better story. I got that because me and my best friend, who I do the Disney one with,
yeah,
I call him Devin Poo Poo Face, and he calls me Robbie Butterpants. Yeah, I know. Don't.
Okay.
This is what we do in Maryland. This is what we do. So, funny story. I was just like, well, he calls me Butterpants. I was like, well, Butterface is a funny ass name. So, you know, the term is, man, she was good looking, Butterface.
Yeah.
You know, so like everything Butterface. So I was like, how can I involve that? And then I was like, well, I use oil, butter. And
right.
So it just started kind of making funny.
Yeah.
And I started it as a joke, like Butterface. Who's really going to do that? And then it just kicked off. So those are the two main ideas. But I have, the first time I interviewed someone, the first person I interviewed, one of the things we used to do when someone came on our show, we would get them to say the intro. Like, all right, I want you to say, hey, welcome to Couch on Fire podcast. My name is so-and-so. I'm here as a guest.
Yeah.
So the guy Griffin, who was from the South, he was like, welcome to the Blazing Futon. And I was just like, the Blazing, that's a better name than mine. So if the Couch on Fire ever gets taken away from me, I have the Blazing Futon.
The Blazing Futon.
So I don't know. Like, I'm a good ideals man. I have great ideas. I don't know how to execute them without help.
Yeah.
So, I finally got help executing this, and now it is where it is. So
that's cool, man. I thought it was like a West Virginia thing, because they burn their couches after a win.
Oh, do they? Oh, no.
West Virginia University?
See?
That fuck your couch.
Maryland is in the Big Ten now, so I fucking hate West Virginia.
Tell you what, they're going to be a team to watch out for over the coming years.
Well, West Virginia?
Yep.
Definitely not Maryland.
Yep. I don't know about Maryland, man. Maybe basketball. Yeah. But yeah, man, Brother Rob, I appreciate you coming, man.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, dude.
Guys, go to @CouchOnFire
podcast
on Twitter. Yeah, plug your social medias, all the pages.
Yeah, I mean, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, all @ on Couch on Fire podcast. It's pretty simple. At right on. Couch on Fire Podcast. We try to try to make it uniform. We were all over the place. Like, it used to be Couch on Fire,
yep.
And then some of them were Couch on Fire Podcast. Luckily, I got in early enough to change the names, because sometimes it does right. suck when you get into a situation where it's not like that. But we're also on YouTube. We don't do videos often. I think we probably have about 80 podcast videos up there out of our 130 episodes. But anytime I record with Alex, we're live on Twitch at Couch on Fire Podcast. Yeah. And then we upload it to YouTube the very next day.
Right on, man.
Dude, this guy, Alex, I'm going to give a shout out to him, because when we were doing podcasts, real quick, we would record on Monday. We would upload one episode on Tuesday, just the video, and then on Wednesday we'd do just the audio. And I was like, well, why can't we do it all at once? And right. he's just like, well, the analytics. I love him. He's a nerd. The analytics say if you upload constantly Monday through Friday, if someone searches your name, you'll be the first person that pops up. They put on Couch on Fire. So how do you beat Google? You literally put some kind of either a picture or something, a tweet, a picture, anything. So now we have this program where I set everything up for the week. So every day there's some random tweet that tweets out every day. There's some random tweet that does that on Facebook. There's some on Facebook. You have pages, and then right. I can put like polls,
schedule tweets, schedule posts.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a way to do that. I think he uses like IFF. I forget what it's called, but yeah. So man. So I always shout him out because he's one of the most intelligent men I've ever met.
That's next level, man.
He is something else. But yeah, thank you. I mean,
I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me. No, man, I do appreciate you having me on your podcast, man. And I wanted to definitely return the favor, and we'll be doing that again for sure.
Oh yeah,
we'll
definitely. I mean, I would love to come here and
absolutely
chat again. I would love to invite you over to have you at my house. I don't have a setup like this, but eventually I will. This is
man, you'll it doesn't take much, man.
Well, I keep it I kept it simple, but now I'm at a level where I want to take it to a next level. I want to get the audio up a little bit better. Yeah. I want to change things, and that's what I'm doing. Every little bit counts.
Right on, man. Yeah. Every little bit indeed does count. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you get back to your lives. So please go to mistuffpodcast.com. Check out the website. I've done a lot of pretty good work with it. I've done some hard work on it over the last couple of months and tried to improve upon your experience as a viewer. So please do that. Check out mistuffpodcast. All the links to the social media are there. If you want to follow me personally on social media, all of those links are on the about/music section of the mistuffpodcast.com. Please go to MI Stuff Podcast by Kelsey Hudgens on YouTube and click subscribe. We are at 337 right now. My next goal is to reach 420 subscribers for obvious reasons. That's my next threshold I want to reach, but inevitably we want to get to 1,000 subscribers so we can begin monetization and we can begin going live through mobile, so I'd be able to go live from my phone and chat with you guys as on off days, which I would love to do. And it would just be, we'd get more content that way. So help me get to 1,000 subs. It's going to take probably another couple years, but anyway, we're getting there. So yeah, please do that. MI Stuff Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. If you want to follow me personally, Kelsey Hudgens on Facebook and at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, at Yonder Wizard on Instagram. Do you want to give me your personal stuff? It's up to you.
Any of the Couch on Fire stuff has my personal
to it. Gotcha.
So cool. That's pretty cool.
Cool. So, but yeah, just follow me there. I always post more on my personal page. If you guys want some dang memes, I got you covered. Also, big news, and I'm gonna say all of this in the intro as well, but I know a lot of folks skip through that, which I do on other podcasts. So just in case you have. That's why you're hearing this stuff twice. But Sunset Grill is going to be making a huge comeback with all the new Jeffrey Epstein news is coming out. I've talked to Noah Byrne. We may be getting an episode out tomorrow or Tuesday. Not exactly sure. There will more than likely be a snippet episode where I will cut. And that's going to be me sitting at this computer for the rest of the week. Just about like getting Epstein clips together and... trying to go back as far as we've covered this to just for our personal reference. But anyway, be excited for some more conspiracy, dark, creepy shit coming your way from Sunset Grill. And as you guys know well, if you've listened to me for more than a year, anytime Halloween starts coming around, I get in my scary movie phase, and they will be talking about Satan and the devil and demons and blood and guts and ghosts and shit.
What Satan church you go to? I might have to go to that one.
No Satan churches. No Satan churches here. You guys who know me well know that that's right up my alley. So be expecting that coming in the future. And obviously, Brother Rob's gonna be on the podcast coming up again in the next couple months. We're definitely gonna be doing that. And I encourage all of you, if you hear this, please go to subscribe to Couch on Fire podcast on anywhere podcasts are available, and leave reviews, rate and review, so that the iTunes gives podcasters more analytics and more data on their downloads and things like that, the more reviews that we get. So if you could just go and drop reviews on their podcast, as well as mine, do the same thing for every podcast you listen to, and trust me, your podcasters will appreciate that. And yeah, leave some reviews. Let us know what you think. We won't know how to improve upon this thing if you guys don't let us know. And I want to know whether it's good or bad. I want the truth. And just drop some reviews on that. Leave the stars that you think are necessary. And yeah, I think that's all I got for you guys. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. You have the decision every day to make to be either a shitty person or a good person. Be a good person. Brother Rob, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Be good people. Peace, bitches.